Well, good morning. Good morning. I want to, if we can all stand and read a scripture together, and it is 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Let the Lord bless the reading of His word today. I want to start out, you can have a seat, sorry. I'm learning. I want to start out today with a story for you. I want to share a story about a little girl. She didn't grow up in a very good Christian home, or even a very good home at that. She lived in Florida at the time. And her mom died when she was 7, and that left her dad to raise her. They moved place to place, eventually moving here to Michigan. As she grew into a teenager, she did not have but one person who really loved her, and that was her Grandma Anderson. Her dad would leave her with different family members, but her favorite person to be left with was Grandma Anderson. Let me tell you, she was the most loving, caring person this young girl knew. Her grandma loved the Lord, and she showed it. She read her Bible. She prayed on her knees. She was hunched over, couldn't hardly get around, but she was on her knees praying to God. She showed this girl love, and she had faith in her and hopes that she would grow up to be a good mom and find Jesus as her Savior. The girl believes that that is what got her where she is today. And of course, all of her grandma's prayers didn't hurt. I will be honest. I know she wasn't the nicest person. I was told when she was just really small and tiny, you didn't play her game. You didn't play by her rules. She'd chase you out of her front yard. That's just how mean she was. The girl had no idea what real sincere love was other than her grandma's love. She really did not know how to love people or even know how to love herself. She had no confidence or faith in herself or even hope that she would someday be somebody. She was about 16 and was placed into a foster home, and no, it wasn't because she was so mean. It was because she was physically abused by a family member that she had been living with. While she was in this foster home, she met a man named David Ritchie and his family. It was through them that I learned, yes, I was the little girl, how to love and to be loved. Jean has been my mom for almost 28 years now. I'm very thankful that she loved Jesus and let it reflect through her words and her actions. She took care of me when I was sick. She made sure I had senior pictures. She asked me if I wanted senior pictures, and I said, no, what are you, crazy? I didn't know. I had no one to care or love me. But that was something that I didn't realize was important, and she made sure that I got senior pictures. She made our wedding happen. She made my bouquets. She made the food. She did everything that a mom would do. She helped me when I was pregnant and when I was having Michael and Michelle. She was there for both of them. She's helped me raise them whenever I've needed it. But the greatest thing she has done for me and my family was to share her love and relationship with Jesus. She showed me how important it is to have a relationship with Christ. Where would I be if she did not? I'm not sure I even want to think about that thought. I started going to church, and I realized that there was someone who loved me even more than my grandma and Jean. And they loved me just the way that I was. We sometimes think that we need to change and become better before we can come to God or even to church. But Matthew 11:28-29 says, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for our souls. It doesn't say, stop doing this, stop doing that, live this way. Once you're good enough, then you come to me. He doesn't say that. He says He will change us. He loved me, Dawn Marie Ritchie, that He sent His Son to die for me. That means that mean person that kicked kids out of her yard just because I wanted to. And the one who was selfish and only thought about herself, rude and disobedient, he did that for me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world is me and you, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Did you understand that the world doesn't mean the place where we live? It means me and it means you. I'm not sure about the rest of you moms today, but I don't think I could have sent Michael or Michelle off to be hung on a cross for anybody. I just don't think I could do that. I'd have to say what God did was true love for us. He not only said it, he showed it. Have you ever heard the saying, actions speak louder than words? The Bible tells us in 1 John 3:18, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is what Jean did. She showed through her actions, not just with me, but with others, with my kids, with anybody that we ever came in contact with. And this is my goal to do with my kids and everyone I meet, is to show the actions of my love that Jesus Christ gave me. Even little kids as Chloe and Jeffrey's age, they learn by watching us. They watch our actions and they hear our words. Moms, are you setting good examples for your children? Grandmas, are you setting good examples? Are they hearing you say loving, encouraging words? Are they seeing you watching appropriate things on TV? Whether you think they can understand or know, it's still going into their little ears, eyes, and minds. Are we speaking to them with love and quiet voices? Yes, there are times we may need to raise our voice, but our tones that we are using should be with love. How do we expect our children to speak to us and others with respect and kindness if we're not doing the same? Are we having negative conversations in front of them that will affect their outlook on our loved ones, church, or even Jesus? And this is not just little kids. These are teenagers. These are young adults. These are grown children. What kind of conversations are we having? I'll be honest. When my kids were little, I was not the best mom. How I wish I could have some redos. I cry sometimes because I was not the nicest mom. I said things that hurt. My heart hurts because of things that I did and said, and you can't ever have a redo. We cannot have redos, but we can become better. I was a screamer. I was a screamer, and I'm ashamed to say that. And I wish I would have changed sooner because it wasn't fair to my kids how I was. Because I know how I feel when I get screamed at. I know how little it makes me feel. I would get angry and have fits. I'd use uncaring words, say things I did not mean, had negative conversations in front of them, and argued with my husband in front of them. That's a no-no. These are things that God's telling us not to do. Yes, I apologize. I've told my kids that I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said things. But it still happened. It's like if you throw a good china plate on the ground, it breaks, you can glue it back together, but it's never the same. What is done is done. So we need to look forward from this moment and not look back. Because I beat myself up a lot. I should have did this. I tell David, maybe we should have been harder. Maybe I shouldn't have did this. But you know what? I can't change that. But with God's help, I can move forward. And I need to make a conscious effort of changing. If I don't try, it's not going to happen. When I made the decision to have a relationship with Christ, I realized that I had to make a decision about my attitude. I decided to change my attitude and my actions with love. The more I read my Bible and the more I prayed, the more I fell in love with Jesus. And that made me a better mom and a better person. I'm not trying to put anyone down or say you're not a good parent, but I'm here to encourage you to have a better relationship with Christ, which will help you be a great, loving mom. I want to encourage you to have faith in Jesus and yourself, and encourage your children to have in Jesus and themselves. Faith is confidence and trust in what you cannot see. To encourage people to be their best and do their best. God expects it from us, and we should expect it from ourselves. If we don't ever have expectations or goals, how are we ever going to teach our kids that they can improve? If our goal is learning how to play a sport and we don't expect to practice, we should not expect to get any better and be put on the team. If we expect to pass a class, we need to expect to do the homework. Because if you don't, you're going to fail. It takes effort to reach our goals. As becoming a better Christian, we need to expect to communicate with God through prayer and reading our Bibles. If we don't, our goal will never be met. I know it's not easy being a mom or a Christian. They're both, I'm sure you guys will agree, is a 24-hour, 7-days-a-week job. It's a lot of hard work and discipline. We cannot decide today that I don't want to be a mom and maybe tomorrow I'll be a mom. The same goes for being a Christian. It takes love to be both. Being a mom or a Christian is not something you do, but who you are. Did you hear what I said? I did not say do, but it's who you are. It's how you live. It's who you become. I'm proud to be called Michael and Michelle's mom. I was known at the school. There's Michelle's mom. There's Michael's mom. Nothing made me prouder. But I also want to be known as there's God's daughter. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not easy. Life's getting harder every day. Society's making it harder. But with God, we can do it. Love is necessary to the Christian life. Jesus commands us to one, love another. Most of you know that I'm big on love. I've been doing my Wednesday nights on love. I talked to the kids today, and I didn't even plan the lesson in the book, and it was on love. But it is necessary, and He commands us to love one another. Sometimes we need to help learn how to love and to be loved. He is willing and waiting to help us. We just have to ask Him. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. John 13:34. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Ephesians 4:32. Love is also necessary as a mom. We have to love enough to be willing to give our all to do what is best for our children. Sometimes that means giving up a dream. Sometimes giving up going to that extra party. Sometimes that just means giving up going out to eat because they need new clothes. It's not something you can do and be selfish. It takes sacrifice and doing hard things as disciplining and saying not to our children and saying no to our children. God sometimes tells us no one disciplines us. There were times that Jean had to discipline me. Not because she wanted to be mean. Not because she just didn't like me. It's because she loved me and she wanted what was best for me. And I'll be honest, I didn't like her sometimes and I was awful mad at her and I said things under my breath that she probably slapped me out of my chair if she heard me say. But thank God I'm not that, no way. But thank God she was strong enough to discipline me because she knew where I needed to go. And that's exactly what God does with us. This is not mine and David's plan. Our plan was never to be pastors here. I mean, we didn't know what our plan was, but this was God's plan. And He disciplined what we thought we wanted and what we thought we were supposed to do. And He said, no, this is where you're to do. Just like Gene says, no, you're not running around with them girls. You're married. You got two kids. You get your butt home and you do what you're supposed to do. I love her for it. I didn't at the time, because it made me a better mom, it made me a better person, it made me a better wife to her son. But she didn't do it because I was a mom and a son. She did it because she loved me. She did it because she loved me. Hebrews 12:6-7 and 11. And have you forgotten encouraging words God spoke to you as His children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when He corrects you. I could have walked out on David and the kids. I had enough of Gene telling me what to do. Where would I be? Where would my kids and my husband be? Nowhere that we should have been. For the Lord disciplines those He loves. Do you hear that? Because He loves us. He disciplines us. Not because He wants to make us miserable. He punishes each one that He accepts as His child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as His own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by his father? No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. Yeah, we're having a good time now. But we continue to do it and we're not disciplined. What happens? Nothing good. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in His way. What good are we doing if we do not discipline our children right from wrong, and to be respectful to us and others, and to respect themselves? How can a child learn if not taught and disciplined? The Bible tells us it's not enjoyable to discipline. I always felt horrible. I would cry. I hated taking their stuff away from them. I hated not letting them go to their friends. I felt bad to make them turn the TV off. Michael liked to not go to school. So my punishment to find out if he was really sick or not, you can't watch TV. And that's how I knew. Okay, Mom, I won't watch. I knew he was really sick or not. Sorry, Michael, but it still pained me to do that. I wanted them to have fun. I wanted them to do what they wanted to do. But discipline is necessary. Kids, your parents do not discipline you because it's fun or enjoyable, because it's not, but because they love you and they want what's best for you. Christians, I skipped a page, sorry. Christians, this goes the same for you. If he did not love you, he would not discipline you. He doesn't want you out doing things that you're not supposed to be doing. God does not enjoy disciplining you, but he wants you to grow and he wants you to become better. That's why he does it. If he didn't care if you just sat in your little pew and did nothing, he wouldn't say anything to you. But he does. He cares about you. He wants you to grow in him. He wants you to have a happy life. There's not one of us that he wants us to have a miserable and lousy, sad life. He doesn't want that for us. As moms, we are busy people. We also need to remember not to forget to have alone time for ourselves. Amen? Moms, we need that time just to go off. Sometimes wives, we need that time to go away from them. Husbands, to regroup ourselves, to recharge. But we need to be doing that with Christ. We need to gather our thoughts, our concerns, and bring them to the Lord. This was even important to Jesus. Luke 5:16. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Even Jesus took alone time to pray and speak with his Father. Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. As moms and Christians, we need to have hope. And we need to encourage our children to have hope. Hope is an expectation and desire. An expectation means a strong belief that something will happen. If we don't give them something to expect to graduate school, what are they going to know? If we don't give them goals to have something to strive for, how are they going to know? We need to have a desire to love God and to love one another. Desire is a strong feeling of wanting to have something or wishing for something to happen. I have a desire in my heart for Michael, Laura, and Michelle to know the Lord, and when they have children, to do the same. I have a desire to grow closer to God myself. Every day I ask him to bring me closer, to help me rely on him, help me to listen to him. We need to have a desire to want our kids to succeed in having a relationship with the Heavenly Father. We need to be encouraging our children to have that relationship with God. If you're not teaching your children that way they should go, someone else is teaching them what way not to go. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you're not going to teach your kids this is what you need to do, there's going to be someone that's out there called the devil, ready to use people to tell your kid, hey, let's go do drugs. Hey, let's go do this. Hey. And it's, you're going to encourage him to steal and cheat and use absurd, obscene language that should never be spoke, and to be disobedient to their parents. I have a saying, and it's kind of funny. I've shared it on Wednesday nights, and I've shared it with the teens. You let the devil get his little baby piggy in there, it opens the door. He sticks the next little piggy in there. Next thing, he's got his whole foot in there, that door's wide open, and he's coming on in. That is not what we want for our kids. That's not what we want for ourselves. You are the biggest influence in your kids' life and other lives. Christians, you are the biggest influence in other Christians and other children's life also, not if you're a parent or not. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's your job, it's your responsibility to teach them right and wrong, to help put good things in their minds and their hearts. As they say, garbage in, garbage out. I was looking on Facebook. Pastor Dave, will you hand those papers out for me? I was looking on Facebook, and I saw where a mom had her daughter place a name. Maybe some of you seen it. Name in a Bible verse. I'm sorry. She had her daughter place the young man's name that she had a crush on in a Bible verse, and it helped the daughter to see if he was what she needed in her life. It's 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. And Pastor David's given you some papers, and I left a blank line. I don't want you to put what I want you to put's missing is your name. I want Fred to put his name, Shirley to put his name, and so on. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not honor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. But this is what I want you to do when you get your papers. But with your name. Dawn is patient, Dawn is kind. Dawn does not envy. Dawn does not boast. Dawn is not proud. Dawn does not dishonor others. Dawn is not self-seeking. Dawn is not easily angered. Dawn keeps no record of wrongs. Dawn does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Dawn always protects. Dawn trusts. Dawn hopes. And Dawn perseveres. I want you to put your names in there and see how you come out. I'll tell you, I've got a couple of things to work on. I get angry sometimes a little quicker than I need to. Sometimes I'm not as patient as I need to be. This helps give me discernment, which discernment is a process of making careful distinction in our thinking about truth. Is it right or is it wrong? Am I really being patient? Am I really being kind? So when you put your name in there, maybe you may have something you need to work on, but ask God to help you. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21-22. But test everything that is said, hold on to what is good, and stay away from every kind of evil. I love that the mom did that with the boyfriend. It kind of puts a whole new perspective on it of what kind of man we want for our daughters, and we could do it with the girls for our boys. This will also help us know what we need to work on to become the Christians and the moms that we need to be. Has everybody got their paper? I want to read it again, but when I read it, put your name in it, okay? Dawn is patient. I want to hear you guys say your names all. Dawn is patient. Dawn is kind. Dawn does not envy. Dawn does not boast. Dawn is not proud. Dawn does not dishonor others. Dawn is not self-seeking. Dawn is not easily angered. Dawn keeps no record of wrongs. Dawn does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Dawn always protects. Dawn trusts. Dawn hopes. And Dawn perseveres. Kind of gives it another little outlook on it, doesn't it? Puts a different little bit of meaning on that. Why is love the greatest of these loves? Because God's love never gives up. It never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. That's 1 Corinthians 13. God's love never fails. It helps us in every aspect of our life, whether we're moms, we're dads, we're Christians, grandparents. Maybe you weren't raised in a Christian home, or even in a family that loved or taught you to love. Maybe you were abused and don't feel worth of being loved. That was me. I didn't feel loved. I didn't know how to love. Maybe that sounds silly. I didn't. I didn't know how to accept the love that David and Jean and Papa was giving me. I didn't know how to receive it. I didn't feel like I was worth being loved. I was past here, I was past there, and when the food stamps ran out, they didn't want me, they shipped me somewhere else. When they didn't want me, they put me somewhere else. But God wants me. He doesn't want to ship me anywhere. I've made terrible mistakes and bad decisions. Woohoo! I'm sure we all have. And God knows them, and I've asked for forgiveness, and I told the kids this morning, when you ask for forgiveness, God gets rid of those. He doesn't think about them again. God loves you, and He wants you just the way you are. There is no excuse to not have a relationship with Him, except that you do not want one, and that's your decision. I can use what I've been through for good to help people. I always wondered, why am I going through this? What am I doing? And people would always say, oh, you can use it to help others. Yeah, right. Now I can see where God is using it. I can't use it, but God is using it to help work through other people, using me. He has taught me to love Him, myself, and my family. And He's helped me to learn to love others. You know, it didn't happen overnight. I didn't wake up one morning, I know how to love, I can be loved. Didn't happen like that. It was a painful journey. I'm sure David and Jean will agree. It wasn't always bed and roses with me. But because they loved me and they stuck it out, I am where I am today. I'm still learning. I still make mistakes. I apologize. If that's what you do, apologize for your mistakes. But you have to forgive yourself. You can't go back and undo what you did. It's just not possible. You need to move on. You are loved by God, and you can have all of His love. All you have to do is ask. Maybe you feel like you're not the best mom, dad, grandparent, or Christian. Again, I say don't beat yourself up, because you can change. You can change that. Today, right now, your life can change. You can help change your family's life by asking God into your heart or to draw you into a closer, deeper relationship with Him. It's free, it's easy, and it's yours for the asking. And it's your decision. I'm going to pray. If you want to come to the altars and pray, you can. If not, after I pray, I'll be dismissing you, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm so thankful that I am a mom and that I have a mom. Lord, I'm so thankful that You've given me this opportunity to share my story. Lord, I don't know if it's helped anybody, Lord, but I know that it's helped me. It's helped me understand that I have to forgive myself and that I need to draw closer to You and that I need You in everything I do. Lord, I just ask that You would be with the moms today and the dads, the grandmas and the grandpas. Lord, I just ask that You would give everybody just such a special touch. Lord, I just ask that You would give them a wonderful day today with their families. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.